All right, let's see if I can do this. Let's see how much my voice cracks. You ready for this? Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our watered dog shit. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop. I love that now my intro always includes Scott's...
Yeah, how far can you get it? Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that was disappointing. But sometimes if you can get me to do a spit take, then you did a good job.
That's my plan. I do my best.
You said watered dog shit. That's up there to my top three favorites of all time, I think. Classic.
Today in the present, we will be discussing Palm Springs from the past. You will listen to it in the future, which is now. Palm Springs from 2020, rated R, exclusively on Hulu. Get your Hulu, get your Palm Springs. Directed by Max. Is he a Lonely Islander?
Max Barkabau?
Barbacow?
I don't know.
I think this is like strictly a, I looked at the beginning of the movie and I think the only production company they mention is Lonely Island.
Yeah, I mean, he's not listed as a Lonely Island person. They're just Andy Samberg, Akiva Schaffer, and Jorma Taccone.
Okay, I knew I was talking to the right guy that would know all their names.
I'm looking that up right now as we speak.
So starring Andy Samberg, Kristen Milioti, J.K. Simmons, and a bunch of other wonderful actors and actresses.
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
By the way, let's welcome Desmond's sexy cold voice to the episode. If anyone's at home listening and you're getting like a little extra turned on, you're like, who is that husky gentleman? Well, Desmond's working that cold.
Just like this movie, you can put it on a loop and do it over and over again.
I like when you start talking about like the basics of like who's in the movie and when it was done. Your voice gets a little bit like the old like movie phone voice. And that gets me like excited. Movie phone.
Welcome to Movie Phone. Press 1 if you would like Palm Springs.
Yes.
2 if you would like 2067. Listen to podcast 49 if you would like to hear the top 10 time travel movies.
Am I the only one that's really enjoying this?
You know why I know that I can do that voice so well? Is from watching Seinfeld so much. They have a movie phone episode.
Oh, they did it? Okay, that makes sense.
I love that episode. And so that's where...
You're also like movie obsessed and you probably called that number a lot of times throughout the 90s and early aughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Press 3 for Cine 7. I never realized until recently how much, like if I hadn't lived 4 blocks from a cheap theater, I don't know if... I had HBO, so I probably would have got there anyways. But my love of theaters, at least.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have gotten that had, you know, because in the fucking, you know, 80s in Billings, Montana, by the time I was 11 years old, I could walk 4 blocks to the theater. And there was a, like I said, they had 7 screens and it was the cheap theater, which, you know, was like second week, third week at tops. All the movies would be there for fucking... $3.25 or something.
This will all be featured in your biopic. It's gonna be like, I don't know who's gonna play you.
I'm gonna play me.
No, young you?
Yeah,
little 7-year-old boy like going to the theater or whatever. No, we'll have to figure this out. We'll have to figure it out. Probably Chris Hemsworth. I'm sure that's probably the best option. We should talk about this movie.
So this is your second time watching this. So I assume you guys probably haven't watched it. You guys watched this like right when it came out, I think, didn't you? Pretty much.
We must have. When did it come out?
2020.
It was during COVID, right?
Yeah, must have.
It was one of the more interesting, like COVID, and here's a thing you could stream now that's fun.
time travel.
Yeah, I think it did really well. I was reading because of when it came out. I mean, I'm sure they made less money, but
people liked it.
Yeah,
because they were everyone was living in an infinite loop themselves.
Totally.
Holy shit! This did really well.
It says it set the opening weekend record by netting more hours watched over its first 3 days than any other film in Hulu's history.
Wow.
August 2020. So that's, you know, yeah, theaters weren't popping out yet. 8.1% of its subscribers watched the film over its first month. Variety reported the film was the 26th most watched straight to streaming title of 2020 up to that point.
That was right when everyone realized that their kids weren't going back to school.
Yeah, yeah. And we needed a film like this at the time. Like, it was nice to watch. This was like a good, like, for time travel, but also like easy to consume, you know, level.
Funny. It was super funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, this is really well done.
And to be perfectly honest, as I get older, my memory is a sieve. So watching this was pretty close to watching it the first time. There was just a few things of like, oh, I remember a thing with a cave and I remembered who was in the shower. But besides that, it was pretty new for me.
Ari, let me see your extensive science notes.
I didn't even need to write anything down.
They try to throw a little bit, right? She tries to study physics for a little bit.
They tried. I think it was a good amount. For this type of movie, it was just the right amount of attempted science.
Yeah, for something that I think if they had skipped it all completely, I think we would have forgiven them. So for them to sneak a little in at the end was, yeah, it was, I don't want to jump to the end.
Well, just give it, what's your impression? What'd you think?
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
It was just really fun to watch. I told Kelly it's Groundhog's Day for someone who's seen Groundhog's Day.
They kind of put it that way in Wikipedia.
Well, but not only that, but like...
But also, if you haven't seen Groundhog Day...
Well, no, what I'm saying is that movie exists in this universe. Like, I get the feeling that Niles has seen Groundhog's Day and is like, oh shit, one of the, like, I'm surprised they didn't bring it up.
They didn't mention it a single time.
No, but he does mention, like, you know, the whole infinite time loop. Like, he says it like, you know, we've all heard of infinite time loops for one reason or another. And that's what we're in right now.
It's interesting that they really made an effort to not disclose details of his life before the movie, right? They never tell you what he did before job-wise.
Yeah.
And I guess or his family, what he comes from. And it's not even, it's his girlfriend's people at the wedding. So he's like this total.
Which is what they call him the whole time in the movie. Who are you? I'm Misty's boyfriend.
It's just like... They should almost have not given him a name. He should have just been Misty's boyfriend, like, as the only title known as.
Totally. That would have been great. I like that we get the combination of someone who's been living this life for years, most likely, is what it sounds like. And then Sarah coming in fresh. So we get both perspectives.
Right.
Of seeing, like, you know, Niles at the wedding, just like always in the right place at the right time. And so for people at home, God forbid you haven't seen this. So at Annie Samberg, Niles wakes up and he seems just really like doesn't care. And at least for me, like, I was like, I wonder, like, they don't give it away right away that this is his 1,000th time.
There's a few hints, though.
There's a few hints, but you think he just doesn't care. Like you said, he's just, you know, with his girlfriend at this wedding and whatever. And then he's, you know, he's the only person not in black tie. He's wearing swimming trunks and a hula shirt to the wedding and cracking beers in the middle of speeches. And then his girlfriend gives a meh speech. And so he kind of drunken stumbles up to the microphone. And we're just thinking, oh, God, this drunken asshole is going to ruin it. But this is when you realize that he's had 1,000 days to practice this speech and he just hits it out of the fucking park. And then that's when it switches to like, oh, he's been doing this. He's on the dance floor, like always in the right place at the right time. And then we're off. And then he hits on the bride's sister and they have a fun little night. And then we meet Roy. Roy.
Yeah, it's a perfectly normal film until Roy.
Yeah, you just think this is a guy living the same day over and over. He's probably, you know, seduced the bride's sister 100 times. And then out of nowhere, he just gets shot with a fucking arrow.
Yeah, it's just like a wedding and he makes a speech and then he's hitting on her and they go off and they're making out. And then he getting chased with an arrow and goes to a mysterious cave. And you're just like, what the fuck is happening?
And he takes a couple arrows and chases Roy into this mysterious glowing cave. And she thinks Niles is in a lot of pain. So she chases him into the cave. And now she's in the loop too.
Yeah.
And I love the scene. So when she realizes she's stuck in a loop, she comes out to attack Niles and she launches a bunch of beers into the swimming pool. And I love the Saving Private Ryan, the bullets going into the water. Instead, it's just beer cans flying into the water. They're the Saving Private Ryan scene. I thought that was really clever. So, of course, she's convinced she can get out of this. He's just like, he's watching her do everything he did for his first 100 days. I love the fact that they address, because I know we talked about it in Groundhog's Day, that he takes a bunch of crystal meth so he doesn't fall asleep and goes all the way to Equatorial New Guinea to see if he can get as far away from this black hole.
Yeah, so there's a lot of similarities with Groundhog Day as far as he's tried to kill himself many times and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't work. And also that he loses track how long he's been there. Because when she asks him, like, what was your job before this? He legitimately can't remember, which means he may have been there for years, decades.
Yeah, it's undisclosed, but like at least a year, if not more.
No, more than a year.
I'd say at least 1,000 days. Like I said, at least 3 years.
Yeah. For you to forget what you did as your job.
Yeah.
I love the premise, right? You have to repeat this day and you have to repeat a day at a lame wedding that you don't know anybody. You just got to go through speeches.
He's got some great escapes. He's got a dive bar that he likes to go to. Uh-huh. He finds a house where the family's on vacation that's got a cool pool that he can go hide out sometimes. Like, I love that he just takes some days off. Like, you know, some days he just, you know, he definitely has his routine usually where he cannonballs into the pool. And you know, I love this, Scott. You know, my end of the world go-to is to get hammered and ride it out. So this is right up my alley.
I know it's funny that I'm questioning the science on this, and it's not, obviously it's pretty ridiculous, but for me, it's like the idea that it's only when you go to sleep it resets kind of doesn't make sense.
Or die.
I almost feel like it should be like a time, like once a clock hits midnight, but maybe that doesn't make as much sense either. That's all arbitrary. It's just weird that you could stay up another day and a half, but then you sleep and it resets time based upon your sleep patterns.
Well, because she tried to stay awake and she was.
She does.
She was able to, just like in Groundhog Day, she was able to live past.
No.
Groundhog Day wasn't like that?
Wasn't Groundhog Day like when the clock hit a certain time, it resets?
I think it's 6 o'clock it reset, whether he went to sleep or not.
6 a.m.?
Yeah, when his alarm clock went off.
Mm.
That makes more sense to me, that the same time, it hits that time and then it loops. The idea that you could stay up a day and a half just until you fall asleep based on your sleep pattern seems weird.
I love that this one did it because all the other ones, we kind of assume that's what happens, but they never test it.
Yeah.
And I love we can't start that conversation now. All the loop movies we've done, because there's the one where she gets on the plane and she tries to fly far away. And I forget if it's
the map of tiny perfect things.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I think she's right.
That's right.
But that one?
Because that one's a time. That one's midnight.
Yeah.
That one is every night at midnight. It clicks back to 8 a.m. when his alarm goes off.
I was trying to remember, is that the one where one of the people purposefully brought the other person into it without them knowing?
No, that was just, they just both.
Did we watch a looping movie where one person brought the other person
in
against their will? When they find out, they're really mad.
What would that be, though? I'm trying to go over in my head. We got Groundhog Day, you got Edge of Tomorrow, Map of Tiny Perfect Things.
I might be thinking of something else.
We got any other loop days?
This kind of reminds me of something.
No, what you're saying sounds familiar.
Yeah, but with this one, you know, I thought when I first watched it, I thought that it was going to have a.
She brought him in. Map Tiny Perfect Things, she brought him into her.
Yeah.
But it was a backwards story.
No, they were just both there.
Yeah.
They didn't realize either one was in there.
At one point for this, I thought there was going to be a reveal that he brought her in on purpose because he was lonely.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Someone brought someone else in because they were lonely.
Yeah.
I forget which movie it was. Anyway.
We need to get that on the list then, because that's another.
The case for this one is that she accidentally brought in, he would have never done this to her.
Well, he did bring Roy in on purpose because he thought that would be a fun day to relive. So where Roy comes from is they just have a great day. It was early on. He's meeting everybody at the party. He meets Roy. They have fun. They get a bunch of drugs out of the officiant's jacket and do it.
It was like blue cocaine.
I think it was pills. They were crushing up pills.
No, they had all sorts of blue powder on their nose.
They were crushing it up and snorting it. But the guy bangs on the door and he's like, give me my pills. Give me my pills. But they were just crushing and they were going all out with it, whatever it was. I think it was probably ecstasy or something. And they were, or is Mike Molly's blue, which I guess is ecstasy, depending on what what generation you're from.
It was a fun movie. We've been watching some that are kind of disappointing or some that are like so complicated. It was nice to have an enjoyable, really fun movie. I love that I'm looking up Loop movies right now as we're speaking, and Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas comes into the picture.
Really?
Uh-huh. Oh, they got Triangle as one of them. Oh, I get it. Yeah. It's not, but I'm thinking of like the Day Loop.
Yeah.
Which is different.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should do an all Loop week.
Just get it.
We just did Boss Level and this, yeah.
Yeah, Hulu's all about it. Yeah, there's 1201. That's another one we haven't done yet. I think there's even like two versions of 1201.
Is that the TV show?
No, it's a movie. I think it's based on a book, so I think it's been done once or twice. I think that's one that is always kind of hard to find. So next time.
Oh, Meet Cute falls into this category. What if our podcast next year is the same Loop movie over and over again?
Oh, don't tempt me, Scott. Don't tempt me.
Hey, so this is the 30th time we watch Groundhog Day. What nuances did you pick up this time?
I've told you about the worst idea of all time, right?
No, please.
The podcast where they watched the same movie every week for a year. And it was, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Grown Ups 2.
Oh, so this exists?
This is a real podcast. Yeah.
Why that film?
And then the second season, they did Sex in the City 2. And then, so I listened to them too. Oh, I forgot. I got to check. Their podcast probably just came out. So they teamed up with another favorite podcast of mine. And every year for Thanksgiving, for the rest of their lives, they're going to watch Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
And they do a podcast about it?
Yep.
Like 30 to 50 times in a year.
52 times.
I mean, you really get into the idea of like, you know, they're reliving the same day over and over and the nuances you find in a day. And we would just be watching the same film and you just really start picking apart instead of the major plot, just the little moments, the little
choices. You start to notice characters you didn't even know were in it the first 20 times you watched it. You're like, have you seen the guy in the blah, blah, blah shirt? Like, no, what's that?
I would almost say to do with Back to the Future, but I don't want to ruin it for myself.
We'll do Back to the Future 3 then. It's already ruined. We'll just ruin it more.
That's a good point. So yeah, fun movie, right? It's got all the things you need. It's got a love story in it. It's got a guy that's kind of given up and then finds kind of meaning and hope.
Yeah, this movie ruins my entire thesis on life. My life thesis is none of this matters.
Right.
And that's Niles's whole thought going in, is that none of this matters. And he kind of convinces her that none of this matters. And they have a lot of fun for a long time. And then they have sex. And of course, sex ruins everything. Like, she just flips on a dime.
Well, it wouldn't have. She woke up feeling like good and in love. And then she has to wake up every morning to the fact that she cheated with her sister. She has to face the fact that she's an asshole. Every morning, she can never escape that.
Yeah, that she slept with her sister's future husband.
That's right.
So she you know, she wakes up and she's in hell at first. And so she's like, I got to get out of here. Like, this is not okay. I don't want to be stuck in this forever.
Right.
So then so he can't find her for a long time. And we find out that she has been studying quantum physics.
Yeah.
She's been waking up for, I don't know, hundreds of days. And going to the diner and studying quantum physics. Oh, which leads me to this. I actually haven't read this yet, but first I'll read the quote and then we're going to do a deep dive. Allow an observer access to the indeterministic universe on the other side of the couchy horizon. So now we're going to find out what the Cauchy horizon is.
I'll look up in deterministic universe.
The
idea that events are not caused or do not cause deterministically. It is the opposite of determinism and related to chance. It is highly relevant to the philosophical problem of free will, particularly in the zero form of libertarianism. Interesting.
Cauchy horizon is a light-like boundary of the domain of validity of Cauchy problem. One side of the horizon contains closed space-like geodesics, and the other side contains closed time-like geodesics. The concept is named after Augustin Louis Cauchy.
Sounds like a character in Pee-wee's Playhouse. That's Cherry. Oh, I see. In quantum theory and physics, indeterminism is the belief that no event is certain and the entire outcome of anything is probabilistic. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle and the Born rule proposed by Max Born are often starting points in support of the indeterministic nature of the universe. All right, they're going in some shit.
Since the region of space-time inside the Cauchy horizon has closed time-like curves, it is subject to periodic boundary conditions. If the space-time inside the Cauchy horizon violates the averaged weak energy condition, then the horizon becomes stable and frequently boosting effects would be canceled out by the tendency of the space-time to act as a divergent lens. Were the conjecture to be shown empirically true, it would prove a counterexample to the strong cosmic censorship conjecture. Boom!
I always thought so.
Oh, in 2018, it was shown that the space-time behind the Cauchy horizon of a charged, rotating black hole exists, but is not smooth, so the strong cosmic censorship conjecture is false. Bingo.
Word.
Thank you, Doctor.
Mm-hmm. In the 2020 film Palm Springs, the character Sarah mentions the Cauchy horizon as she formulates a plan to escape a time loop.
And it works.
And it worked.
And it worked.
She tested it on a goat. She blew it up. So, yeah, she basically decides that the 2.3 seconds between now and when they fully reset, if they can just blow up this magical cave and themselves in this thing. And she mentions, speaking about how long they've been in it, she says, I don't know, we might wake up 20 years from now. So that leads me to believe that she maybe has been there for 10,000 cycles of this.
No, I think she was saying that it's just a theory. She's been taking a class, but she doesn't know if they cut out of this, do they cut out of the time she wants? Are they older? Are they younger? Is it 20 years?
Well, but I would think that she thinks that they'll wake up after living this many days in reality. Like however many days they've been there is how many days they'll jump forward.
I don't think they're suggesting that they've been there for 20 years. I think she's just saying randomly that she doesn't know about time. Yeah, she's being, you just don't know about time, how this is not an exact.
Yeah.
They're just blowing themselves up inside of a tunnel. But it's really interesting, the different approach, right? He's just like, I give up and I'm just going to kind of chill and get drunk and whatever. And she's like, I'm going to take a physics class and try to like learn how to get out of it.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
So the source of the time loop was this energy light inside of a cave that appears after an earthquake happens.
Yeah.
And the cave is not visible before the earthquake hits. But once it hits, there it is. And then if you step into it, then you're in this loop. Do you think that the mysterious dinosaurs that appeared to them one night when they were doing mushrooms has something to do with this time loop?
Oh, they said that was like a famous like monument in Palm Springs, and I was reading about it. But wait, were they were moving though, right? That they saw?
Yeah, they were moving. And they were on like mushrooms when they saw them. But do you think maybe the writers were like, hey, we're going to throw something prehistoric in there because the source of this power is from, you know, the center of the earth, from an earthquake in this mysterious caves, you know, maybe these dinosaurs have been stuck in this loop for millions of years.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to say something like that.
Yeah, but I mean,
so those were the Cabazon dinosaurs, formerly Claude Bell's dinosaurs. It's a roadside attraction in Cabazon, California, featuring two enormous steel and concrete dinosaurs named Dinny the Dinosaur and Mr. Rex. located just west of Palm Springs.
Okay. So you
it
think-
was also in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
If you recall. Yeah.
But these dinosaurs were like stegosauruses, the ones with the really long necks.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was a brontosaurus, wasn't it?
That's what I meant, brontosaurus. The one with the long necks.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone is a dinosaur expert, it's you over there.
It's Cormac.
That's what I mean.
He was fucking, he didn't watch the whole movie with me, but he happened to be back here during that scene and he saw it before I could, because I couldn't really see it because it's really shadowy and weird and they're barely moving. Like you have to like watch it in slow motion to see them moving. And he was like, look, dinosaurs. I was like, I don't think so. And then they showed it again. I was like, I guess maybe like there's a long thing about, and then they said dinosaurs, like, holy shit, Cormac's the man.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it could have been just a little, like a deep thing that they threw in there.
Yeah, I felt like they were trying to do something like that, like this prehistoric, ancient. But yeah, it is weird that it was just that one. Like if that happened, you'd fucking go back there all that. You go ride one of them bad boys. Who cares if it steps on you?
At the end, when it worked, Scott was like, what about the other guy? You know, like they just left him there. There's nothing.
And he's going to repeat it forever. They should have told him.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. And then the last scene. Yeah. It was very satisfying to help him.
I was concerned.
It was very satisfying. That was brilliant. And he even told him about it, right? Didn't he tell him how they were planning on getting out?
No,
she left a message.
The girlfriend left him a message.
That's right.
With how to do it. And when he came to confront him, he was, you know, and he didn't recognize him. He was like, oh, it worked.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That was a great stinger.
I love the first night that those two guys meet and just go the best night of their lives.
Fuck yeah.
When they discover the game. That scene was amazing.
What brings this whole movie, ties this whole movie together is Orchid Explosion by Fournier is the scent that ties this whole thing together.
That should have been the constant.
It was my second choice. That's why
that should have been the title of the film.
Orchid Explosion by Fournier. It was very close, but I couldn't resist having poop be in my intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how Niles figures it out. He's just wandering around doing whatever the fuck he wants. He's got a million tries at this. And he's hanging out in the groomsman's room and he leans over the pillow and realizes the pillow reeks of Orchid Explosion. And that's when he realizes that. And they even at one point, I don't remember what the conversation is, but he goes, fuck, I haven't even thought about the multiverse thing. That's the question that I always wonder about this is if all 10,000 versions of what he's done of people going forward, like is every one of his redos someone else's reality?
Oh yeah, that's a really interesting thought. I mean, it's not a loop movie, but it begs the question at the end when J.K. Simmons comes in and now he doesn't remember him. And so like, it's not a universe inside of a person. That is a universe that is existing while he's moved on to another timeline. So that does suggest many timelines.
I guess there's at least two or three, I guess. There's at least three because there's
I mean, the fact that can exist. Yeah.
Yeah. There are universes where Niles tells the bride that the groom fucked her sister the night before the wedding. Oh, and also, too, what makes it easy for Niles to really not give a shit is that every night his girlfriend sleeps with the officiant. So that's why he really doesn't care about anything, because in every universe, his girlfriend.
She was funny. The blonde girlfriend, I thought she was very funny.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this idea. If you really break this down, it's really interesting, this concept, right? A lot of these loop movies, you think it's happening to the person, but that means it's not happening to all of time. You almost want to think like, because of what this person did, this day is repeating. Like, that's just time. Time is now repeating this day. But the fact that like for him or for JK is repeating, but for others it's going on, that's a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
That it's individual because he went in the cave, the time that is happening for him. He's repeating a day, but for anyone else, time is moving forward. And for those that are moving forward, what's happening with him for the others that it's moving forward to? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he hasn't made his way out of it yet, let's say.
But is it just this version of him?
Is it an alternate him that never just the him from day one and he moves on?
Yeah.
Like just think about this concept. Like when you really think about.
Yeah. Does everyone is there multiple universes where Niles is just gone on November 10th every time?
Right.
Or is
because it has. Well, it, again, if they, it could have just been that like because he went in this cave, time is looping for everybody, but no one else knows about it except for the JK thing. The fact that he comes at the end and the guys are recognized, he's moved on and he's out of a loop. So it's like Groundhog Day. Is it he's just in the loop, but the rest of the world is moving on? Or like, for because he needs to fall in love, the entire world is repeating this day?
And if the world is moving on, is it spitting out a different universe every fucking time?
Right. It has to be, right? Because every time he does the day, he's doing it differently. And so what they're all moving on from,
yeah,
is the relation to that. So this has to be a multiverse thing.
Yeah. That's what I always think. I always think that it's, yeah, every version that he's lived moves on with him or without him, whether he commits suicide. Like, just think of, yeah, how many universes think that he just stepped in front of a bus or.
Yeah. And then it doesn't make sense to me.
Or when fucking JK shows up at the fucking hotel and burns him in the swimming pool. Like, that's a universe that someone is living on with. And that JK. So then does that JK, he wakes up the next day in jail and doesn't really know why how he's gotten there, or.
It just doesn't make sense to me that an individual would, it almost makes more sense to me if something happened with the time space continuum and the universe and like time is repeating itself in this loop, then it is for an individual, but for everyone else, it moves forward. That could be assigned to one individual that their time is repeating, but time itself is not.
Which means we're all our own universe.
Right. It's kind of that theory. And that doesn't make sense to me. It would make more to just say all of time is in a loop until you can fix this. Time is broken. It's a skipping record.
But then why is only one person conscious of it?
Right. Edge of Tomorrow, it was time was repeating, right? It wasn't just his, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They were affecting all time. That made more sense. This does not, to me.
Well, it does. It can make sense. It just makes insane sense.
It's every person is their own universe time, which feels less plausible.
You know what's implausible?
Yeah, I know plausible within, it's a cave.
Life is implausible.
There's still a logic to time travel.
We talking over this computer about movies is implausible.
Or that we've already done this.
But yeah, it would be interesting to do a time loop movie where like nobody's aware of it for a while and then more and more people slowly become aware of it.
Yeah, like little cracks leak through.
Yeah, and some people, you know, and there's always the sleepwalkers that never figure it out. But as more and more society realizes, they're just living the same fucking day over and over again.
Isn't Dark City kind of like that? But they just change, they're like, change little parts of the day, but they don't know they're, I mean, that's a whole other thing.
I don't know about, yeah. Have you put this movie on our list, Scott?
It's not time travel.
Oh, balls.
Good film, though. Good film.
If they repeat the same day, that sounds like time travel to me.
No, they erase people's memory. They all live in this like little fictional city and aliens are controlling them. And they move them around and they change a few different factors because they're studying them. But they don't realize that they're erasing their memory each day.
So after a while, Roy just succumbs to the fact that he's not going to treat this like torture. And he just decides to relive a great day with his family every day where he cooks a great meal. Because Roy doesn't wake up at the wedding, everybody out there, for those who are wondering. He wakes up in his own house in Irvine and then drives to the wedding.
Yeah, he just comes every like few days. Every like 5 days he tries to kill him and then he goes back to his family.
So then he just decides to, just hang out with his family and have a great day and barbecue. So I'm using this to lead in to, for Niles, this would be kind of a shitty day because he's basically at a stranger's wedding with a girlfriend who's cheating on him and all that stuff. But in theory, I don't know, I guess just, I'll just ask it as plainly as possible. How would you like to be caught in a time loop if it was a decent day?
Right. But it was interesting, right? At the end, once he's fallen in love with her, he's like, can we just stay this way? I just want to, we can, like, you don't have any responsibilities. There's no job. It'll just be you and me just like fucking around. But she's like, I can never move forward if I wake up every day to this worst thing I've done. But yeah, if you had to repeat a great day. I mean, there's that scene from Map of Tiny Perfect Things, like where they like take the time to like see all the beauty that exists in a day, that really like positive montage. See, look at that, you know. Or like Groundhog Day, that he like can learn all these amazing, like learn how to play piano and all these languages and what you can do with that time. But it's pretty limiting.
I like this version. If I was going to be stuck in a loop, I would want to be stuck in a Palm Springs loop where I could stay up and go farther sometimes if I wanted to. Like I could actually wake up and just pound coffee, pull a 52-hour day and go somewhere else and experience a couple things, a couple different things occasionally.
Yeah, being centrally located would be important, you know, if like you lived in a place that was near all these other places or near an airport and you could fly somewhere, you know, for 24 hours. That would be fun.
You're not snowed in.
Yeah, you're not in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have someone with you, that's the, if you have like a partner in crime, that helps, right? Otherwise, you can't build on any relationship with anybody. It's got to be pretty lonely.
Yeah, super lonely.
Like he says, she's like, do you sleep with people? He's like, yeah, sometimes, but it's a lot of work because every day he's got
to do it in one day.
Reintroduce him to that.
To get someone to sleep with you in one day.
Yeah. And then we find out at the end that he has slept with Sarah a lot because he bailed her out with the speech. And so that was always an easy way to get in her good graces.
They just never went to the cave to get attacked by Roy, except the one time.
Except the one time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where did he? I guess, yeah, I guess that's when Roy showed up. Because I was like, they were making out mighty close to that cave. If that was where he took her every time, he was playing a dangerous game.
It seems
game.
Like that's actually a bit, if you know Roy's out there or you know the cave is dangerous, that's a weird choice. But.
Well, you see at the beginning of that scene, he's freaking out because he keeps seeing the foliage move. And he's kind of like, we should get out of here. We should go. And she's like, what's the, he's like, I don't know. And then someone steps out of there. Someone was just in there peeing in the bushes, but he was just like, fuck, here comes Roy. So he was smelling him.
Yeah. Fun movie.
Very fun movie. Check it out. Use your Hulu membership wisely and watch Palm Springs and 2067 and Boss Level. Have yourself a hell. Dude, it's Thanksgiving week. You got family over. You got nothing to do. We got the trilogy of all trilogies for you.
Are we being sponsored by Hulu for this month?
I'm working on it.
All right.
We'll get there. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We are at time_pop_pod. Keep sending us great movie recommendations to timepoppod@gmail.com. You can also send any questions or comments from this or any past episode to the same address. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Time Pop? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy, spirituality, the Wheel of Time, fitness, nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Thank the Light, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel.
And this is Scott.
Bye.
So, for our next episode, we are going to do something, I guess, kind of special. It's different.
It's different.
We're doing something we've never done before. Everyone out there, I think it's... We're doing a lot of exclusive shit this month, and sorry about that. We're going to jump from Hulu to Spotify. On Spotify, there is a podcast series called Case 63, he says, as he does it. No, am I right? Can someone back me up on
that?
You're
the one who knows about it. You tell us.
I know.
This is your baby.
Case 63. It is a 10-part podcast series. They're really short, bite-sized episodes. The whole series, if you listen to it, is about the length of a movie. It's under 2 hours for all 10 episodes, so I highly recommend checking that out. I've already listened to it. It's very interesting. I'm excited to listen to it again, and I'm super excited to talk to people about it. That's why I really need to do this episode, because I need people to talk about. So out there, if you've listened to it, or if you're going to listen to it now that we've recommended it, check out Case 63. It stars, just so you don't think it's a bunch of dipshits like us, talking to. It stars Julianne Moore and Oscar Isaac. So we got some real people, and there it's kind of Julianne Moore is investigating Oscar Isaac. So it's a lot of them just talking. And I just, it's interesting. It's different. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. So K63 on Spotify, check it out. Listen to our podcast. Just do it, people. Just, what are you doing? It's the holidays.
Seriously.
It's the holidays. Listen to a podcast. You'll love it.
Hey, you, it's the holidays. Listen to a goddamn podcast about time travel.
Hey, have you guys heard about these things called podcasts?
Is it like where people talk?
Yeah, it's just people talking. I don't know what the big deal is. I don't know what they're talking about.
It's like songs are just people singing.
The future.
The future. What do we become, assholes?
This is happening now.
Which is when?
Then.
When is then?
It just happened.
When will then be now? Soon.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
You got to redo that coughing line again, don't you?
Oh, no, I'm not even going to say that because I'll end up cutting it out.